All right, let me jump in on today's Right Side Way monologue, and I'll just remind you guys that this has been some more kind of a week. All right, this has been a week filled up with emotion. It's been a week filled up with incredulity. It's been a week in which we've watched the news almost with bated breath at times, waiting to see what was going to happen. So we're in the aftermath of this past weekend's attempted assassination of President Donald Trump. And I saw a brief video of a discussion with Tucker Carlson and country music artist John Rich. I'll play it for you later. But Rich said something to the effect that, quote, when God shows up, even the biggest detractors can't deny it. It's true. God definitely spared Donald Trump this past weekend, of that I have no doubt. But as we glory in the sparing of one innocent man, also grieving the loss of another innocent man, I want to know what's next. What's the plan for the aftermath? What is the plan for unraveling what happened this past Saturday in Butler County, Pennsylvania? Who is going to be held accountable? I'm not looking for the individual foot soldier who was on the scene trying to face repercussions now, although someone may need to. I'm talking about the higher-ups, the leadership, the decision-makers. What will come of the head of the Secret Service? Director Kim Cheadle, someone who actually has 27 years of decorated service as a special agent. She's already made it clear she has no intention of stepping down. Look, the highest and most distinct burden of responsibility for the U.S. Secret Service is VIP protection, and nothing within that field of endeavors ranks higher than protection of a president or former president. But what should we expect, though, really, from an administration that defers responsibility, takes no accountability, provides no assurances, and never, ever, ever presses for the resignation of one of its own members? I had a coworker years ago. She was a really neat lady. She had her first and only child late in life. She and I were talking once at work, and she told me that she did not believe in spankings. Okay, I'm not a huge fan of them either, but spankings should always be a last resort when you discipline your child, in my opinion. But to tell a child that spankings don't exist, well, what happens then? She came to work one day, and we had a good laugh about what happened the day before at her house. She said that she and her 4-year-old son were out in the yard working in the flower beds when he picked up the hose and acted like he was going to spray her with water. She told him not to do it. But she could see in his eyes that he was weighing out the whole forgiveness versus permission thing. She told him again not to do it, put the hose down, and then he sprayed her up and down and gave her a full soaking. And she was mad. She took off after him, chasing him around the yard. The whole time he was apparently yelling, "You don't believe in spankings! You don't believe in spankings!" And she was yelling back, "I do now!" We got a good laugh out of that. But the issue was not that her little guy was disobedient. The real issue was he had no fear of repercussions. He sprayed her with the hose because he had already weighed out in his mind and he did not see any concern about the aftermath. In his case, though, his mom changed her mind. But I got to ask, is the Biden administration going to change its mind? We have no reason to believe they ever will. I mean, think back to the debacle pulled out from Afghanistan. It was chaos. 13 U.S. service members and 170 Afghan civilians died at the Abbey Gate. Thousands of Americans were left behind. Hundreds of billions of dollars in military equipment went to the Taliban, who had been our sworn enemy for 20 years. And who resigned? Did any general lose their job? Did we see the resignations or firings of any secretary or deputy secretary or undersecretary, anyone at all? The answer is no. All right, what about the southern border? Has there been a more definitive breakdown of social order and national security? Millions have streamed across the border largely unfettered. Whole communities have been devastated, resources drained. Worse yet, we see a constant series of stories about crime perpetrated on Americans by illegal immigrants, about the hundreds of thousands of deaths related to fentanyl that streams across our border. Deaths, all these, by the way, that should not occur but for the ability of criminals to enter our country freely. Has anyone in the Department of Homeland Security been fired? Has Secretary Mayorkas even acknowledged the failure of his Department of Homeland Security to actually not secure the homeland? Again, the answer is no. All right, one more. How about the economy? During the past 3 years, we have endured the highest inflation in decades. Interest rates are stymieing the housing market. Gas prices are twice what they were when Biden took office. Which economic advisor to the White House has any fear of losing their job? I mean, has there been any accountability? It would seem that if your job is to advise the president on economic affairs and that the affairs you advise are an economic disaster, well, then maybe you're operating outside your gifts. Need to get another job. But they won't. There's no fear or concern at all about such accountability measures in a Biden White House. And I guess, perhaps more importantly, is the man at the top. Despite his obvious personal frailties and the pain that the average citizen feels because of his policies, or the lack thereof, Joe Biden sees no reason why he should not run again. I mean, why would anyone in the current administration feel any concern about losing their job when the man they work for feels no shame in clinging to his own? There was a movie that came out back in 2001. It was a great movie. The Last Castle, starring Robert Redford and James Gandolfini. It's one of the best movies about leadership you'll ever find. I've actually used it to teach leadership and accountability. The storyline of The Last Castle follows the imprisonment of Redford's character, a 3-star general, Lieutenant General Eugene Irwin. The plot shows Irwin in prison and the other military prisoners who were at first wary of him, but over time they begin to respond more and more to his obvious leadership, his command presence. James Gandolfini, he plays the power-hungry warden, Colonel Winter. The men are just cattle to Colonel Winter. They're just the objects of his scorn. They're the thing he must deal with to advance his career. But then in comes Lieutenant General Irwin, and he restores pride and dignity to the men of the prison, even without his uniform and his medals. And they did so because he was a leader. He cared about them personally. He put others above himself. It was a great storyline. There were so many lessons, but the premise of why he was in prison in the first place is what goes to my point today. In the movie, Lieutenant General Irwin was in prison because he had been the commander of a force who required rescue. So against orders from the National Command Authority, the character of Lieutenant General Irwin had sent troops on a rescue mission to get his men out. The mission went badly, and 8 soldiers died. There had been an opportunity for blame to be cast on the lower ranks who conducted the mission, but the character of Lieutenant General Irwin would not hear of it. He took full responsibility, he tendered his resignation, and he agreed to face charges in a court-martial proceeding, and he was sentenced to 10 years. There was one scene in the movie with the warden, Colonel Winter, speaking disdainfully to Lieutenant General Irwin. Irwin had confronted Winter on his failure as a leader, and Colonel Winter pointed out the window to the prison yard and yelled, "Mr. Irwin, they are the enemy. But then I don't have to justify myself to you, do I, Mr. Irwin?" To which the general simply responded, "I don't know. Do you?" Look, the American people want some accountability. Not from the lower ranks. We just want someone to be the stand-up guy or girl and take ownership of the failures that we've been living through. We were given no accountability on Afghanistan or the border or the economy. But this past weekend, the former and soon-to-be next president of the United States barely survived an assassination attempt. And he didn't survive because of that, you know, Director Kim Cheadle, whatever she did to protect him. He only survived because he happened to move his head at just the right second. Director Kim Cheadle presided over an epic failure. I think it's time to bring back resignations, or firings, or both. How about this? Let's make accountability popular again. Because without the promise of penalty, there can never be accountability. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way. Yeah, there you have it. I mean, the reality is this. Nobody in the Biden administration is ever called upon to face penalty for their lack of leadership or the failures on their watch. They just pass the buck or deny that it happened altogether and try to gaslight us into believing we didn't see what we thought we saw. Here's the truth. They can't hide it. Someone just needs to take a step up and say, "I'm the one, and I tender my resignation." We are past time for it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.